It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. And, of course, today is Super Bowl Sunday. And what has become a Sports Edge annual tradition for many years, while we want everyone to, of course, enjoy the big day of NFL football, we also want to help and give sports parents some insights, some guidelines that they should be aware of when it comes to their kids wagering on the big game. And for that matter, to educate our listeners about the devastating impact that being addicted to sports gambling can have. Now, each Super Bowl Sunday, I ask Don R. from Gamblers Anonymous to come on the show. And no, this hour is not intended to debate the so-called merits of wagering on athletic events. I mean, that's not the purpose of this hour at all. In fact, from my research, pretty close to 40 states in the nation have legalized various forms of sports gambling. In other words, we fully accept that wagering exists and is legal in most states. That's a given. Rather, because it's well established by the medical community that gambling can become a most addictive disease for a certain percentage of our population, it's our feeling that the sooner that sports parents can begin to pinpoint the telltale signs of their kids wagering, the sooner parents can take proactive action to try and intervene in a positive way. And before I get it to Don, I will start and I will repeat this information throughout the hour. The Gamblers Anonymous Hotline, the number is 855-222-5542, or you can go to their website at gamblersanonymous.org. And again, I'll be repeating that information throughout the Sports Edge this morning. Now, friends, the issue of gambling addiction, again, it's well known, and again, we want to make it clear that we acknowledge that gambling is legal in many states. And the truth is, in most states, the legal age to gamble is 21. But all that being said, we all know that there are billions and billions of dollars being wagered by college and high school kids who are underage. That's a real concern, and honestly, it's what we're going to talk about today. I have a bunch of numbers and stats and some things going on that you might not be aware of because of such an onslaught and such a popularity for gambling. Anyhow, on that note, let me bring in Don R. from Gamblers Anonymous. Don, good morning, and thank you, as always, for taking the time to talk about this important issue regarding kids and gambling on sports.
Thanks for having me, Rick. I always appreciate it. I think we've been doing this for 18 to 19 years, so we've seen how the illness has progressed and the more venues that are out there to create problems for children and, in turn, problems for parents.
No question. And again, we've been around doing the show this on Super Bowl Sunday, as you said, for a number of years. And it's funny because we have sort of gone from a sort of a 180 where sports wagering, sports gambling wasn't that long ago, was totally illegal. And now it's flopped the other way. And now it is legal in most states. And the concern is, look, we're not legislatures. If this is what the people want, that's fine. But almost all these states, and there are a few exceptions, depending on if it's a casino or where somebody goes to gamble, in most states, the age to gamble, to wager, is 21. And we know that we see so many kids today who are getting seduced by this, and they fall into this when they're their teenage years. They somehow, for a certain portion of the population, they fall victim to this addiction. And before we get to, before I start asking you questions, Don, and friends, we'll take your numbers, we'll take your calls at our number, of course, 877-337-6666. Let me just give some basic stats about kids and wagering to show how serious this problem is. Now, these numbers I'm going to go through, they're all taken from various top medical sources. Here's the first one. Approximately 4 to 7% of our kids, ages 12 through 17, which means, of course, they're well below the age of a majority to gamble legally, but 4 to 7% of our kids meet one or more criteria for having a serious gambling problem. And another 10 to 14% are at risk for developing an addiction, which means that they already show signs of losing control over their impulsive gambling behavior. Now, we're not talking about thousands or hundreds of thousands. We're talking about millions of teenagers, kids who are running the difficulties with a growing gambling problem. In general, between 60 to 80% of all high school students report having gambled for money during the past year, 60 to 80%. 4 to 6% of those students are considered addicted to gambling, and another 6 to 8%, again, are at risk of developing a serious gambling problem, of showing signs of loss of control. Boys are more likely than girls to gamble and experience these issues, but as we've discussed in recent years with Don, the percentage of girls, teenage girls gambling, has risen significantly as well. Problem is this, for most parents and their kids who are teenagers, gambling is still seen as being some sort of, I don't know, innocuous behavior with few negative consequences. But for those kids who develop an addiction, it can really spiral out of control and basically ruin their lives. I mean, again, addiction to gambling is recognized as a real addictive illness by the American Psychiatric Association, and I feel it's important that to point out that back in 2013, not that long ago, just 10 years ago, the American Psychiatric Association changed their definition of compulsive gambling from, quote, being an impulse disorder, unquote, to being categorized as an addiction. In short, gambling is fully recognized as a serious medical disease. Now, Don, I go through these, obviously you know all this, but for the benefit of our listeners, try to put this all in perspective because it is a real problem. I mean, one of the numbers, one of the issues about kids and gambling is that just a few years ago, gambling with underage kids was pretty much done online, you know, on a computer. But now much of that activity, as you know, Don, has shifted to kids using cell phones. That, when kids gamble on cell phones, that makes it very difficult for a parent to be able to track what a kid is doing in terms of their sports betting.
Well, I think that what happens with a lot of parents, and, you know, what we try to do here at Gamblers Anonymous is to try to, when a parent calls in and they say they have a problem, most parents feel very guilty about what have we done wrong in this situation, whether it be drugs or alcohol, and now obviously with the gambling being so widespread.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing the parent wants to do is they will pay off these debts. Now, with the advent of legalized gambling, it's not the days like when we started the show where you had the only place you could make a sports bet is through illegal gambling through a bookmaker.
Right.
With a bookmaker, you don't have to put up money. You end up, you have to pay the bookmaker at the end of the week, and you scramble and you steal or find some way to do it. Now, money has to be put up front, and the question really comes, where does the child get the money? Where does the child end up having to steal the money? What happens with the credit cards? And the parents feel guilty. They pay it off. They tell the children, don't do it again. But they really haven't gotten to the crux of the thing because they feel so guilty. And they really don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, that sort of captures the whole issue in a nutshell because, you know, as you said, Don, the parents, and many of them obviously do wager. They love going to a casino, or they love to put, bet on their favorite teams. And again, that's all legal. That's not in the dispute here. But then they see their kids are watching this as well, kids who are, I don't know, middle school, high school, kids who are into sports as well. They find it to be very socially interactive to be part of the crowd in high school that's betting on games. But again, as you said, the kid, A, if the kid is using it on their cell phone, and B, they have to have a credit card or access to a credit card to put the wager, to pay for the, to put the money up front. As you said, parents might be aware of this. They may sheepishly sit down with the kid and say, hey, you know, I'm not sure you should do that because you're underage and you could get in trouble. But the kid's going to say, but mom or dad, I see you gambling. What's the difference? Well, the parent should really, instead of being defensive, just say, look, I'm over the age of 21. You're not. And gambling has dangerous repercussions. But so what happens when the parents call into Gamblers Anonymous about this? What kind of counseling do you guys offer to these parents who are obviously concerned, or they realize their kid is sort of out of control?
Well, what we do is, with Gamblers Anonymous, we talk to the parents and we try to get some sort of information. We try to, there's Gamblers Anonymous, and we try to get them to send the child to a meeting, you know, as close as possible. But there's also another part of Gamblers Anonymous, which is a separate organization called Gammonon. Mm-hmm. Gammonon is for the parents or the people who are affected, whether it be, you know, the other children in the family, other people who are affected by that child's situation or that person who's gambling. So we give them the opportunity. We try to, if the parents go to these Gammonon meetings, they will learn about what the gambling's all about, what they can do, what the signs are. Is the child isolating? Is the child not doing as well in school? Is the child isolating from his friends? You know, and I use his, but more and more, just like you talked about before, you know, there's females. Back in the day, there were very few sports. I mean, a female would not go into a racetrack. It just wasn't a comfortable place for them. Mm-hmm. But now with the advent of the online gambling, with the ability to bet on the phone, and females are playing, I mean, like I live out on Long Island, they have flag football for females. So if they're playing flag football, that means they have to learn about the rules of football, and it becomes more enticing. More women are active in all these sports that formerly were male-dominated, so they become interested in it. And as your statistics said, and, you know, we have the statistics. I mean, I was at a meeting last week where there were 30 people, and 10 of them were females. Hmm. That was unheard of when me and you started this show.
And again, friends, I just want to, as I said, I will give you the number for Gamblers Anonymous. The hotline is 855-222-5542. The website is gamblersanonymous.org. You can also find information there about Gammonon as well for, you know, your families and what's going on here. Because this is, as Don is saying, this is serious stuff. And parents don't, you know, it's awkward for parents to somehow find or discover, perhaps by accident, or perhaps they just sort of assume their kids weren't doing this, when the situation arises and it's a real problem. I mean, Don talked about kids isolating, meaning that they're sort of staying away from, you know, interacting with their kids while they're gambling, or their grades are suffering, or you just get a sense that your kid is, that somehow something's going on in their life that is wrong. And they don't know what to do about it. They sort of figure they'll find a way out of the debt, whatever. But you got to be paying attention to what's going on. And, friends, there are other things going on, too, that are not well publicized in terms of this issue and how parents need to, and school districts, for that matter, have to sort of cope with this ongoing rise in popularity of gambling. And we'll get to that later on in the show. But anyhow, our number here, of course, is 877-337-6666. I'm going to take a short break. When I return, of course, I'll come back with Don from Gamblers Anonymous. And, yeah, we'll take your calls and let's talk about this, because this is a real concern. All right, stay with me.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the Sports Edge, and we're talking this morning, as we do every Super Bowl Sunday, with Don R. From Gamblers Anonymous about what sports parents need to know about the explosive popularity of and growth of teenagers who are learning how to gamble on sports, even though, unless you're 21, it's illegal. And even worse, it can lead to real serious addiction issues. And you know, Don, since the laws were changed back in 2018 regarding gambling, the popularity of this activity has really has taken off like a rocket. We're talking literally billions and billions being wagered, and each year the number continues to go up, and it doesn't show any sign of slowing down. However, we are beginning to see some people who are following all these and see the numbers. And we're seeing there's some concerns here. Now, again, this is all legal for example, professional sports leagues to partner with gambling and wagering and so on and so forth. But as a parent, it's always difficult to see why, you know, how this is going to influence the next generation of young athletes. For example, with all this money floating around, I do wonder when a top athlete, either professional or even college, might get caught up in a gambling scandal. Now, that's not talked about much these days, but I'm concerned. I mean, I think kids today, they're just sort of growing up in an environment where gambling is legal, but I wonder if anybody in high school, in college, somebody somewhere sitting down with these athletes say, you understand that wagering is illegal. You can't wager on games, especially if you're playing them. Do you see that as a concern as well, Don?
You know, kind of dating myself, but I remember back in the day, there was a fellow, and my father knew this man, and he showed me one day about his son, and the son's name was Jack Molinas. And he was, okay. And this is a million years ago, and my father was not a sports bettor, but just knew the name, and his name was all over the papers. Well, Jack Molinas was one of the first people to start fixing college basketball games.
Yes.
You know, City College of New York was one of the premier basketball teams in the country for many years, and they got caught up in the sports gambling. Boston College, it got caught up in that situation. So with these new things coming through, and with these NILs, which is the name, image, and likeness,
right?
You know, money is being funneled through. It's not coming through the colleges. It's through these booster programs. And, you know, when is the next day going to be that a college athlete or a group of college athletes, especially a basketball game where there's only five players that can influence the game, you know, can create these problems?
No, again, it's not often discussed, especially in this day and age, but you mentioned, of course, going back to the early 1950s with CCNY and that, you know, the point shaving scandals, and that basically sort of blew up their program from national prominence. Over the years, you mentioned Boston College, Arizona State, Tulane. There have been several others, and again, these are college kids looking to make a few extra bucks. Now, with the advent of NIL, this thing's and wagering being legal, I just think it's unfortunately sort of a ticking time bomb until we see something else happen. And I am concerned about this because I don't know who is educating these student athletes as to the problems that come with gambling or being approached by a gambler or whatever when it comes to point shaving, particularly in basketball or other aspects. All right, other things I want to talk about as well, but I do want to get some more calls here. Let's start this morning with Jack Smithlin over in Fairlawn. Hey, Jack, good morning. You're first up on the fan today.
How are you, Rick?
Good,
and,
Jack.
You know, and this is always such a great show. In fact, I can remember years ago, I've been listening to the show close to 20 years, and You know, I remember years ago in my health classes, we did a human values topic. It was a unit, a very short unit, but we talked about things like this. And I used to tell my kids, I remember your shows years ago on Super Bowl Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I used to tell my kids to listen to it, to get up and listen to it. You know, and there's something that as a teacher and a coach of so many years, you know, one of the things that I want parents to understand is that the little football pools and the NCAA March Madness brackets, those are not innocent. Don't tell me those are innocent little things, because they're not. You know, it's the introduction drug. That's what it is. You know, you put $5 down, you can win 50, 100, 500, whatever. And when that happens, the kid's hooked. He really is hooked. And I used to say in my health classes that becoming an addict in gambling is probably quicker than becoming an addict in cocaine or even heroin.
Right.
It really is, because the first time you win, 90% of the kids are hooked.
Yeah.
Now they think they can win all the time. And then what happens is the kids that are betting are usually athletes into sports and very competitive kids. So what happens when a competitive person loses? They want to win. So what do they do when they lose that first bet? Now they come back and try to win it again. So what happens is it's a vicious, vicious cycle. I used to do this all the time in my health classes and talk about this. It is a life lesson program. You know, one of our mega skills in life lessons is common sense. And here's the problem, and I've mentioned this many times on your show, Rick. Kids, the part of the brain that controls your thought process and decision making is the prefrontal lobe. A child or a kid or a person's prefrontal lobe is not developed until their mid-20s. So therefore, that's why kids make stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
Make bad judgments. And this is bad judgment. I know of parents, seriously, that actually start the program for the kids and let them use their credit card. Oh, my child has control of it. Oh, they're not going to get in trouble. Okay, good. When you start seeing thousands of dollars on your credit card, you better open your eyes, parents, because it is a problem. Rick,
Jack,
this show is great. I look forward to this show every year.
Well,
thank you so much for doing it.
Thank you, Jack. And I do want to just, sort of underscore what Jack just mentioned. And that is that, the gambling operations, they understand how to basically attract kids into the whole process. And, yeah, I mean, there's already been, I mentioned, there are now some people who are saying, wait a minute. If you're saying, you know, if you can come in and we'll make the first $100 free or the first $200 free, suddenly you're roping that kid in, and theoretically it's supposed to be somebody who's 21, but we know how the process works. These gambling, huge multi-billion dollar operations are basically attracting their audience by making things free, and that's not a good thing. That is not a good thing, because it's just once a kid gets hooked, and as Jack said, a lot of them are competitive kids in high school who play sports, and they say, okay, I know sports. I can make I'm an expert in this. I'll make it happen. But they end up, unfortunately, in trouble. It's a problem, right, Don?
Yes. And I always give an image of this. Three people walking down the street. One person is a drug addict, and he's stumbling down the street. People can see it. Another person is an alcoholic. You could see him stumbling down the street. You could smell his breath.
Uh-huh.
The problem with the compulsive gambler is that there's no outside warning signs. It's an invisible illness, and people cannot relate to that. And that makes our help of these people more difficult. And it becomes a progressive, just like Jack was talking about, it's a progressive illness. We always gamble. When people talk about losing huge sums of money, well, it's all about having access and excess to the money that they have. And that's where the numbers come up. And that's what we're seeing. And today, there's going to be Super Bowl parties. Parents are going to be making their wages. They're going to take their younger children who are not able to legally bet, but say, well, who do you want? I'll put in a bet for you. And that starts the cycle. And the kid wins. It's amazing how many times we have heard, I won my first bet. We got something for nothing, and it just exploded from there. The other part is that last year they said that $8 billion was bet on the Super Bowl. This year they expect the number to be legally $16 billion.
Yeah.
Somebody is going to get hurt in that situation, whether it be young people or the lower economic classes who really can't afford to be hurt by these situations. And that's where we have to help out.
Yeah, it really just snowballs. The numbers are staggering. And, I mean, the National Council on Problem Gambling reports that when teenagers, again, teenagers are not allowed, that's illegal gambling, but when they do gamble, they are the ones who are at the greatest risk for developing an addiction, more than any other age group. And as I mentioned earlier on the show, you know, something, there are lots of studies that show between 60 and 80% of high school students report having gambled for money. I mean, it's just out there, and yet we don't seem to be aware of how to sort of stem the tide to educate our kids. In fact, one of the more unsettling headlines in the last year is that a number of major betting corporations have struck deals with major sports universities. According to the New York Times, at least 8 universities, including schools like Michigan State, Louisiana State, University of Colorado, and several others, they become partners with online sports betting companies. In other words, these kind of relationships with these gambling operations, because they're putting up advertising and signage and on the Jumbotron, on the college campus at the games, it gives off a strong sense that these colleges are fully embracing gambling for underage kids. I mean, and as such, the kids see all this and they figure, well, if the school which I attend thinks this is okay because they're in business with these people, then I guess it's okay for me to gamble. I you know, now more and more legislators are saying, wait a minute, that's not a good message for us to be sending out to our undergraduates, most of whom are too young to gamble. Don, this is what we're talking about here. It's just an unbelievable marketing campaign to attract younger underage kids who want to feel like, well, if there's, you know, my college embraces this, I guess I should be doing the same thing.
And I think that part of it is that, at least when I was growing up, my allegiance was to a team. And now when you talk to children as they get older, yeah, they have some allegiance to the team, but their next thing is the fantasy sport.
Yes, of course.
What players and how much did they win? And if you think about kids in school, you know, the kids who were the stars were the kids who were the good athletes. But nowadays, because all these kids are secretly gambling, you know, the other stars in the school are the kids who supposedly are winning or telling their friends that they're winning. And this just breeds more and more people. Well, if he can do it, then I can do it. And it just kind of snowballs into that situation where, you know, we have a problem. And we do, at Gamblers Anonymous, we do a lot of speaking engagements at high schools. And when we ask the question, well, how many of you have bet? Very few of them, you know, will raise their hands or will call the school. And the school will say, well, we only have sessions, you know, with the PTA for drugs and alcohol. We're really not interested in gambling.
Yeah.
Well, within a few months after that, we get a call and say, listen, we have a major problem here.
Yeah.
We have some kids who are getting in trouble. You know, the parents are coming into the school desperate because where do parents go? Then, you know, parents aren't sophisticated enough to understand, you know, what the situation is. So it just spirals through this whole situation and just creates more problems. And there's nothing worse. I mean, the stigma of a child who has done something to be ashamed of themselves at that age is very difficult to walk away from. And that really has this enormous impact on the child, you know, 16-year-old, an 18-year-old, a 20-year-old, whatever, and a child no longer is even that age. the 22-year-old who gets in trouble from gambling gets fired from his job.
Yeah, it's
puts the stigma on them that really is difficult, and it really takes a lot of work for us or the outside world, and for them to really assimilate how they can get past it, that you really haven't done anything wrong. They got a problem, and we're here at Gamblers Anonymous to show them that there's a way, and they get the support. Gamblers Anonymous, another terminology for Gamblers Anonymous or any of the addiction programs, is a support group. And that's what we do. We support these young people who come through. We don't lecture them. We show them, and we're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If they want to make a bet, they have a phone number of a sponsor or somebody in the room where they can get some help, and they can get them through that moment of not gambling.
You know, that's all very, very well said. And again, friends, the Gamblers Anonymous phone number is 855-222-5542. GamblersAnonymous.org is the website. And as Don was just outlining, you know, parents, you got to wake up. You got to wake up. I know it's not the world we live in is not the world perhaps you grew up in or I grew up in or Don grew up in. It's changed. And kids today, and again, we can spend another hour talking and debating about this, but the fantasy leagues are obviously now focused on individual performances by athletes. And yeah, that gets into the whole idea. There's a backdrop there of wagering, and kids obviously love to play fantasy. But again, nobody ever sits down and says, you understand, this is sort of like setting up to start to gamble on sporting events. It is for a certain portion of the population, and we're not talking, again, about hundreds or thousands. We're talking about millions of kids who end up with an addiction problem. And as Don just outlined, it can really have a devastating and escalating impact, not just on their own lives, but on their families' lives as well. I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean, Again, this is a real concern. Look, I know we have some more calls when I get to, but I got to take a quick break. Obviously, when I return, I'll continue my conversation with Don from Gamblers Anonymous, and we'll take your calls as well. 877-337-6666. Hey, back here on the Sports Edge, just a quick reminder that you can always find me at my website at AskCoachWolf.com, and you can follow me and the upcoming shows at on Twitter at AskCoachWolf. Wolf. Just a couple of quick notes before we get back to Don R. from Gamblers Anonymous and your calls. I just want to take a quick moment to thank everyone who sent along such wonderful and flattering wishes about my 25th anniversary show last week. I mean, the response was just stunning in every way. You know, I every Sunday I sit in front of a microphone, and as I come on the air, I just hope that there's some people out there who are awake and tuning into WFAN. So when I receive an outpouring of emails and texts and tweets from you all, well, all I can say is that it's just unbelievably meaningful and important to me. I mean, it really is. And before I forget, one of the best tweets came from my daughter, Alyssa, who has always been a proud supporter of the show and who is known on Twitter and other social media outlets as one of the brightest and funniest young people in the world of comedy. So thank you, Alyssa, for your kind words. And by the way, just to put my 25 years on the fan into proper perspective, please bear in mind that, 25 years is a long, long time to be on the air, but my father actually holds the Guinness World Record for being the longest-running sportscaster of all time. Dad, yeah, this is true, worked as an on-air sportscaster for 78 years. That's pretty impressive. And in truth, I don't think I'm going to be coming close to that record. Anyhow, some other news, other big news regarding the Sports Edge. We return next Sunday to an 8 a.m. start. I would go from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. So, yes, so enjoy the extra hour of sleep next Sunday morning, because I know I will. Okay, back to Don R. from Gamblers Anonymous, and we're taking your calls at 877-337-6666. Don, let's go to Ed Ward over in Jersey to get his thoughts about gambling and what's happening these days. Ed, good morning. You're on the fan.
Good morning, Rick. How you doing?
I'm good, Ed. You?
I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to watching the Super Bowl later, but it's ironic. A friend of mine is a coach and a teacher at a local high school in Union County. And
yeah.
This week, They had an assembly at night for parents and kids, which was well attended. And they had four ex-gamblers there, and they were sharing their stories. And he was telling me the next day that some of the students that he had and some of the players was like, they were shocked at what could happen, when, especially when they don't pay their debts.
Yeah.
It was pretty scary. I mean, they were betting with heavy bookmakers and all that stuff. So, again, I know gambling is a big thing in the area now, you know, going on apps and all that stuff. But, God, you got to watch how you spend your money, because you don't want to go broke. I mean, fortunately, I've been lucky. The only time I ever really betted was doing those football tickets, you know, when they were out. But I've never touched gambling, and I don't intend to in my later life.
Ed, you said this is over in Union County? This is happening in the school districts there?
No, one of the they brought a speaker in, and he brought in like four gamblers.
Yep.
And just to share stories and all that stuff, I guess, to let these young people know that, hey, gambling's not all cracked up, but what it is, especially if you're in debt.
Yeah, and you said it was well attended, correct? By the
well
kids.
Well attended by students and parents.
And parents. I mean, it's that has to happen more, quite frankly, because, you know, it's one thing if mom and dad try to, you know, control the kid and educate them. But the kids today are teenagers. Yeah. I know more than you do about technology, and I know fantasy leagues, and I know what I'm doing because I follow sports. Mom and dad, you don't. But it's a little different, Ed, when somebody from outside gets up in front of an audience of kids and their parents and says, let me explain to you how my life got turned upside down because I thought I knew all the answers when it came to wagering on sports. And that tends to hit home to the kids because these are people they do not know but have really scary stories to tell. And, we got to get around this. I agree.
Well, especially, you know, FAM College, Craig Carton, how it ruined his life for a while, and now he's getting everything back in place. And he even shared a story. He's got to do two shows a week, you know, on FAN and on CBS Sports, just so he can recoup the money that I guess he lost through all the gambling and the Ponzi schemes that unfortunately he was entailed with.
Yeah, and again, he was an adult. This has to do with kids, and the kids are obviously are a little less worldly, let's say, than the adults are who gamble. Ed, thank you for sharing that stuff about what's happening over in Jersey with sports parents and their kids attending these lectures because from gamblers, it's important stuff. And thank you, Ed. And in fact, you know, Don, it reminds me there's actually a new proposed law in New York State that's making the rounds from a congressman upstate, Paul Tomko. He's in the Albany area. And he apparently feels that the rampant exposure today via advertising regarding gambling to kids needs to be corralled and sort of put under tighter control. And he's proposed law. It's something called the Betting on Our Future Act. Basically, he's saying that it would ban all electronic and online advertising that promotes gambling because, you know, we know that the kids and young people are the fastest growing demographic for gamblers. It's a real concern. In fact, there's also some states, I think I thought in Virginia, and this may already have become a law, that there's a law in Virginia, I believe, that now is requiring all public schools within that state to teach students about the risks of gambling. And that's pretty stunning. I mean, the fact is, when it comes to getting states and school boards to agree on curriculum, we can't get many schools to even put in a class on basic financial literacy for our kids. But there are laws, as I said, and I think this is coming out of Virginia, that's going to mandate that our teachers will have to educate our kids about any and all issues involved with gambling. And that sounds. I mean, this is amazing. I mean, things are happening that doesn't get a lot of attention, but these things are bubbling up. Don, I'm sure you feel that's a good idea, correct?
Well, I think that one of the things is from speaking at schools and being with other GA members who have spoken at schools. a 15-year-old might not be able to assimilate the evils of gambling, but the interesting thing with young people is that when you tell them a story, it sticks in their minds.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't happen this year, maybe a number of years later, that it's either themselves who have a problem or one of their friends, and all of a sudden and I can't tell you how many calls we've gotten, and they said, you know something, I was at my school, somebody talked about gambling, and I remembered that there was something called Gamblers Anonymous. The fellow spoke, and he says, that's how I got to you. So we plant the seeds. It doesn't have to flower right away. And that's where our speaking engagement and that sort of situation. You know, I always think about, you know, we as parents, I mean, we want to provide for our children. We want to do well for them. We want to house them properly. But if you really think about the most valuable asset that we have in life is really our children.
Mm-hmm.
We can take care of them and help them get through the tough times, and nobody gets a free ride from what I've seen in my life. But if we can take care of our most valuable asset and mold them and help them get through the tough times in life, I mean, our parents were not that sophisticated, per se, of helping us or understanding what we were going through. My father certainly didn't understand what I was doing, and I was gambling. I had access to money, and I was just gambling, you know, and putting myself, and I put myself in very, very tough, both financial and even at an early age, legal problems. So, I mean, those are the parts that parents have to understand of helping the child as early as possible, so at least the seeds are planted so we can help them coming down the road. And again, there's GA and there's Gammonon and there's help. And again, it seems like every state now, I know New York State has a Council on Compulsive Gambling,
right,
with help.
Yep.
There's the New Jersey Council, and we're not affiliated with them. But to me, any place that a parent or a child can get help is greatly appreciated. And the great thing about Gamblers Anonymous is once somebody comes into the program, for the parent and for the child, we're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's really important to help somebody get through this crisis.
I'm glad you mentioned the good news, if you will, is that there seem to be just an abundance now of places where parents or teenagers can reach out for help. And obviously Gamblers Anonymous has been around for a long time. Again, that number is 855-222-5542, gamblersanonymous.org. But, you know, the irony in all this, Don, is that, you know, it seems to me that parents today, especially sports parents, who are so involved in the burgeoning athletic careers of their kids, that, you know, they want to be at every game, they want to go to practice, they want to know what's happening with the coaching strategy, and is my kid on the fast track, and so on and so forth. So the parents are involved with their kids with sports, and yet you're not really sure that the parents, for whatever reason, either they just figure that their kid's not involved, or they turned a blind eye to this, or they don't understand that they figure the kids are not involved because they're not 21 yet. But the fact of the matter is, this is, as you mentioned, it's an invisible addiction, and most kids don't know who to turn to, and they're embarrassed to go to mom and dad if they are in debt or they're losing money or whatever it might be. It's a problem. So, you know, our time is running out here, Don. But, you know, give the parents who are listening in, you know, some tips for moms and dads. What do they should be looking for or watching with their kids, particularly if kids have a credit card, which probably came from the mom or dad, and two, the kids obviously have access to a laptop, but also they have cell phones. Remind us again of what are the things you should be looking for as a parent.
Well, I think for the parent is, yeah, they don't want to invade the child's privacy.
Yep.
But they start seeing certain signs. If the child starts to isolate, obviously if the child starts, you know, you see the school, the grades going down. If you see that he's hanging out with different people, if he starts talking about it, and kids are really not good at hiding things, they start talking about, well, I won this game. And it doesn't have to be the kid who's the athlete. It's the kid who really is pre-programmed to get into trouble. I wasn't a good athlete, but I was pre-programmed to gambling because I love to play cards. I love to do those things. So I was kind of pre-programmed to be in that situation. And that's what the parents have to look at. And, you know, and I always use this analogy. You know, you've written many books, and you know the beginning, the middle, and the end. But for a parent, there's the beginning, and then there's the middle. And if the middle is, and if the child is gambling, he's going to end up with this bad life or not work out well. But if we can help that child right in the middle, this the ending of the book will be so different than what it could have been. And that's all we care about. And that's the way I really look at life. The Gamblers Anonymous came to me, and I was able to change the ending of my book.
That's a pretty good perspective on this, Don, because, yeah, I mean, the kids are just starting out, and, you know, again, it's a different society today than it was, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago. We want our kids to succeed. We will do whatever we can to have them succeed. We want them to be popular. We want them to have fun. Those are all good, positive thoughts from a parent. But when we start getting reports like this, that teenagers are suddenly becoming more ambitious, they're emboldened to start to gamble. And, you know, the parents don't really know what to make of this, even if they were aware of it. I mean, we said a lot of times moms and dads just turn a blind eye, but that's not the right thing to do. And you know, I gather, you've said throughout the show that we've seen a huge escalation at Gamblers Anonymous from kids, teenagers, who are become addicted to gambling. I mean, do you let the kids hit rock bottom before they come to help? I mean, what is the sense you're getting from the frontline trenches with teenagers who are 16 or 18 or whatever, you know, coming in and saying, I got a problem, I'm addicted, I can't stop? What happens?
Well, we bring the parents into these Gammonon meetings. We talk to the parents. You know, even though the two groups are not allied, it always seems that that we kind of bring the parents over to the Gammonon, to the GA side, and we really talk to them. And we say, listen, we're available to talk to. I mean, mental health professionals are professionals in this. But for some reason, we're really the professionals because we really understand it. We've lived through it, and we were able to give the advice. You know, there's two ways of helping a child, and the parents should not be ashamed of what's going on. All they're trying to do is help the children. So we give them both options and give them as much information as they can. And, you know, once they get past this guilt, then they could sit and say, you know, how can we, you know, work with our child? And that's what we do. And we've been successful. GA started in 1957.
Yeah.
We've been helping people, not only in the United States. It started in Los Angeles. It's all over the world. And with the Zoom meetings, we have meetings every single night, you know, all the time, with that same thing of different countries, because everybody's being affected by it.
Yeah, so that's the thing, Don. It affects everybody. And, you know, for families, they have to understand this is a medical illness. It's an addiction, and it has to be treated. You just can't brush it under the rug and hope it goes away, because it won't. And it's your kid. You're worried about your son or daughter. Don, I can't thank, as always, you know, for coming on the show on an annual basis. It's just really, really good to hear from your expertise. Again, Don R. from Gamblers Anonymous. The hotline is 855-222-5542. The website is gamblersanonymous.org. Okay, that's going to do it for me in this edition of The Sports Edge. My thanks to Ed R. Zuman. Hey, enjoy the game tonight. And just a reminder, we go back to an 8 a.m. start next Sunday here on The Sports Edge. I'll see you then.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.